It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and another unafeared individual is Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic. I got you there, Gary.
Ernie, what's going on?
Hey, man. You know, we got a bad connection. You on speaker?
Nope, I am on a landline phone.
Oh man, we may have to, you know, do a call back at the break here. But I'm telling you, the one thing I wanted to do, I wanted to make sure. Go ahead and turn up the signal from the network to me, would you guys? One thing I wanted to get right to here on Freedom's Phoenix. You go to freedomsphoenix.com. At the top of the page, we have Declare Your Independence Afternoon Show with Gary Franchi. If you go in there, you'll see a link, which you also have on the front page here, of Gary doing his show, The Reality Report. Now, tell us about The Reality Report. How did that come about?
Well, Ernie, we put the show together because we're sick and tired of the mainstream news manipulation, corporate spoon-fed propaganda.
The lamestream media, the media that's so last century. You mean that one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. And, we set out on a mission to bring the American people something that they visually are familiar with, but with a message that, they wouldn't quite hear on the lamestream media.
Well, I really enjoy your work, and as the time has gone by, you guys are really doing some quality stuff there, not only in the content, but in its presentation. In fact, I got my daughter, I hooked her up with all kinds of stuff you suggested on how to do a lot of different things in a chroma key and a green screen. We got a studio here, but I'm like, you know what, I need somebody that knows what's up. So she may be calling you with some more stuff, but she's been doing some studying. You know, the one thing that I did want to get to in this report that you just did, you were talking about the tea parties and how they're not really what they appear to be on the surface. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's really a shame, Ernie, because, you know, what has happened is you have all these tea party groups, right? And there are true independent grassroots activists out there who are organizing these groups. But what has happened since the establishment party line guys have seen the potential, they have decided to use their big money to build polished websites and then start organizing these groups or organizing shell groups of their own and luring in everybody under the banner of the Tea Party name. And when they do that, then they are controlling the message, they are controlling the outcome, they are controlling the people in the end. So what I really believe that what is happening is we're seeing some of the early rumblings before the election of the presidential election for 2012. And what the establishment needs to do is harness the energy of the Tea Party movement. So that's why you see this takeover. So I think in the end, and I hope that Ron Paul throws his hat in the ring for 2012, but in the end, I think it's going to end up being the Ron Paul Revolution Part 2 versus the Tea Party movement.
Well, I they tried to make this like it was never really a Ron Paul thing, but it was so obvious to a lot of people that they kind of hijacked it that I'm not really sure they got away with that. In fact, it got to the point where they started going, oh, yeah, it started with Ron Paul and the Tea Party's all coalescing under the RNC and Ron Paul RNC and Campaign for Liberty RNC. It's Republican, we don't like Democrats thing. And regardless of what Campaign for Liberty and Dr. Paul even wanted to try to portray, it doesn't matter. The people know better. I'm sure you've been a speaker at tea parties. I've spoken at, you know, a bunch, double digits. I just came from April 15th in Las Vegas doing that. And I'm telling you, I can see what's going on. It's a Clear Channel, Fox News guys. They'll get their little permit for the stage and the microphone, and they'll say, look at all these people that came. They're all ours now. And I know better, and the people know better, but they're just doing it anyway. The piece that you had up, you were talking about the that there was people that were handing out constitutions and they were being prevented. Tell us about that story.
Well, up in Branson, there were some activists out there who were passing out constitutions, and from what we could gather from the footage provided, was that they were not part of the officially sanctioned Tea Party establishment there. They were simply, you know, independent people passing out constitutions, and because, you know, they didn't have a permit to pass out constitutions, well, you know, we better raise a stink and have them dragged out. And that's what you saw there. And then, of course, there was the other individual who had a sign, and the sign had Obama's picture on it, had Sarah Palin's picture on it. And he was dragged out, and he was told to go to a free speech zone at a tea party.
yeah, that's just the way they roll. Okay, you know, we're seeing it come. We're seeing this, like you say, preparation for 2012. You know,
they're doing. They're gearing up, and they know there is serious power with the Tea Party brand. So that's why they're swooping in. They're going to try and continue to organize these people under their banner that they control. I mean, look at some of these websites out there. I mean, these websites are slick, they're polished, and there's a lot of money behind them. Tea Party Express, I mean, come on. How much does it cost to send a bus all across the country on a number of occasions? That's big, big money behind it. It's all coming from inside the Beltway.
You know, that was one thing that was demonstrated from the video we got, We Are Change in Utah. They were up there. In fact, they got behind where the off to the left of the podium, and they were holding up a 9/11 truth banner or something. And of course, they didn't. No, heck no. We don't want you here. They're calling park rangers and so on, and kind of, well, we'd like to ask. We can't make you leave, but we'd ask you to leave if you would kindly sort of. And we're like, no. But the thing is that they wouldn't have been so nice had they didn't have 15 gazillion video cameras on them. So, but they still, of course, wanted them to leave. Well, the big question they had, sure, as soon as you tell me who's in charge, who paid for it, who got the permit, who's it, as you got the Tea Party Express CNN bus. I mean, what the heck was that about? So you have all of this money behind a facade, because this is a point that we were making during the revolution. You're going, the revolution behind Dr. Paul's campaign. They're saying, you know, the other side will spend tens of millions of dollars just to give the impression that they have a grassroots movement. Well, this is what they're doing. They're trying to generate the facade, you know, the veneer of a grassroots movement using somebody else's movement and just slapping their logo on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, do you think the lamestream media, the media sous last century, is just playing along, or they don't know?
Oh, they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, look, Ernie, you know what happened during the Ron Paul Revolution. You know how the media treated Dr. Paul. You know, people who've been around, they've seen it, and they know. So all that's happening now is the same thing, except they're going to be doing it with the Tea Party movement.
Yep. Well, you know, I tell you one thing we're working on. I just came from the resort where we had this last December's Freedom Summit, where we had Dr. Paul come, and we missed you. We're going to try and get you out, you know, next time. You'll be a slacker. So then what we're going to do is we're going to have it again. It looks like we're going to have it the first weekend after Thanksgiving. I mean, normally we have it over Columbus weekend or Veterans weekend, because it's a three-day weekend. But we really enjoyed the weather. It was much nicer. Everybody was coming from snow. We had Christmas trees up and everything. I go, you know what? Let's do that again. I like that. So we're going to probably pick that weekend, but we're also reserved for Labor Day to have a big event that will be an anti-war event, because where the heck is the anti-war movement? So I got...
Oh, Ernie, you know, it's so funny. When we were at our Tea Party in Daly Plaza, Chicago, this anarchist fella came up to us, and he was trying to stir the pot, you know, calling everyone racist and Nazis and such. But then, you know, he started talking about the anti-war movement, and I turned it around at him. I said, hey, where is the anti-war movement? Where have you guys been? You know, we're still at war, right? And then he started getting, you know, backtracking, and, you know, he pedaled away. But, you know, where is it, Ernie? Come on. Where is it? Tell me.
Libertarians, patriots, freedom-oriented, you know, revolution people. It sure as heck wasn't the Democratic Party thing. They abandoned this as soon as Obama got in. You know, all he had to do. You know, I got an email from someone about, let me mark this down, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize. Now that was predicted. You know, I want to tell you all about that. When we come back here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi, we're going to try and reconnect with the phone too, Gary, to see if we can get a better connection. We'll be right back here in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Just one religion, one truth, one everything. That's what they want. That's what we're going to get if we don't challenge the authority of. And, you know, that's one thing, I'm glad to have Gary Franchi on. He's an anti-one anything. You know, like as in a what? What, Gary?
Well, look, you know, there's a lot of issues out there right now that the American people need to be paying attention to, and it's, you know, primarily these economic issues. Look at the Federal Reserve, number one. You know, that's the source of the problem. Look at these civil liberties erosions around the country, and you know, the tasering of people at checkpoints, and you know, I mean, where do you want to begin? There's so many problems today. We have to fight them all.
You know, one thing we had just yesterday, my wife put up, she saw it, and I watched it this morning, and it was the CNN coverage of, you know, the people opposing opposition. They can't, you know, you can't do that. You know, there's a free speech.
Hello?
All right, here we go. We back? We back, we back, we back, we back. We got the numbers all good. Gary, you there? I got you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool. Man, I don't know. They lost, you know, buttons went off, man. It's all good. So what we were leading up to is we had CNN did a spot where they featured kind of what I guess they perceived to be leaders against the, I don't know, against the man, you know, and they had Catherine Bleisch up there. She's talking about, you know, the fusion centers where they have this federal jurisdiction and law, local law enforcement and so on. Then they have Bob Schultz of We the People and their Articles of Freedom saying, look, you're out of the box. Then we had Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes and so on. And, of course, Camp FEMA, your movie was portrayed in that. I want you to tell the people about Camp FEMA, your movie.
Well, I was pretty shocked to hear that. Well, to see it on CNN when they played that clip, and you know they pretty much blamed Camp FEMA for this Patriot uprising, and you know the Patriot uprising is really going on because of the abuse of power that's taking place in D.C. today.
No, it's because of your movie.
Yeah, really.
Your movie did it.
Well, you know the film.
Of course, your sales probably went up with them saying your movie did it. That's good.
Well, I have to say the phones and emails have been interesting, you know, past couple of days. So I think some interesting, powerful media is going to be coming out pretty soon. But aside from that, the film itself examines the political climate in America today and draws a parallel line between what happened during World War II when they rounded up the Japanese Americans and because of this fear that was instilled after Pearl Harbor. So we took a look at the climate then and compared it to the climate now. Who was being demonized then? Who is being demonized now? What legislation was in place then? What legislation is in place now? So, you know, with the Mayak report, with the domestic right-wing extremism reports coming out of Homeland Security, with Southern Poverty Law Center issuing all these insane documents, you know, the climate is definitely ripe against any type of constitutionally conservative Americans.
Well, you know, I tell you, Heidi Beirich, she's the director of special projects at the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I saw what they were doing. It was I went through this before when they did the Viper Militia thing. When Janet Napolitano was assistant attorney here and prosecutor, they made all this stuff up. The difference was, as we were the Viper Reserve, one of our friends, a libertarian, was one of the guys, did 5.5 years for conspiring to teach. And what we did is we took and we archived all of the documents and we put them on the internet. Now this was, man, this is unheard of back in 97, 96. But we did it and we're going, look, we know they're going to be coming back. The reason we did the guns at the Obama thing where Chris, you know, the young black man that had AR-15, the reason we did that was because when a week before when William Kostrick did it in New Hampshire, he's from Scottsdale. So here they come. I talked to the police and they go, they're gearing up, Ernie. You know, they're confrontation prevention squad guys I've been working with. And I said, all right, you know, we need to get this going. Well, Obama's coming. Fine. We're bringing a gun. You're going to protect us. We're going to make it clear that all this is, you're setting us up and we're just going to have us some fun. Well, of course, it did exactly what we wanted. It got on CNN. I said, look, they're coming and they're going to demonize some local whatever. Well, we got that all out, and what'd they do? They go, dang it, we're going to have to go to Michigan. So they went to Michigan. But during that time, Southern Poverty Law Center was coming every few weeks doing some kind of, oh, you know, the white supremacists are in Arizona crap. So I had her on the show. She told me the last time I had her on, no kidding, she went on about, you know, midwifing the militia and had me mentioned in there a little bit or something. And she goes, we're doing the new Patriot List and blah, 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 but we're not going to put you on it, Ernie, because we know you want to be there. So I look at it and it's like, you know, Chuck Baldwin and Gary Franchi, you and Catherine Bleisch and Ron Paul and all these guys except me. And I'm like, what the heck do I got to do, man? I mean, dang it. I tell you how you get off that list. Want to be on it. That's how you get off the list. You know, we'll be right back here with Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com. And there's a lot to talk about. Gary and I, we're going to entertain you a long time. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It just ain't the same. Always you change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs. Chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really, what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on, I don't know. What's the truth, y'all? Come on, I don't know. What's the love, y'all?
That love is right here, because you know what's here? What they say, if you don't know truth, you won't know love. And and Gary Franchi and Ernest Hancock, you know, we've been working on this together for a long time, trying to bring you a little bit of the truth so we can get back to the love. To the love, dog. Where's the love, Gary?
You know, the love is all around us. You know, it's just a matter of taking it in at the right time and just using it to our advantage. Unfortunately, there are groups out there like Southern Poverty Law Center that are really just spreading more hatred than anything.
You know, I talked to her about that. You know, I'm nice to her. I mean, she's pleasant enough to talk to and everything. I think, I can't. This is her rationale. The idea was that when J. Edgar Hoover was head of the FBI during the civil rights movement and everything, they infiltrated a lot of civil rights groups, just like they're doing now. And Congress said, no, heck no, we're not doing that no more. So what happened was the Southern Poverty Law Center is like, hey, if you're not infiltrating groups anymore, what about these right-wing, crazy, we don't like the government, Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi people? And what about them? And they go, well, we'll go keep our eye on them. So they go out and they'll do all this stuff. And of course, you know, you got a willing law enforcement and government, and they're out there, oh, give us your goodies. And I've been on this stuff since 94. I mean, in 94, I was a top of one of their first militia list because we had a political action committee in support of unrestricted concealed carry that finally just got passed this week. So I'm just like, you know, I'm like, come on, dog, where's the love? Because what they did is they put me on top of the list because Arizona is a state, and they it was the only one that had listed any kind of a militia thing, and it was safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe legislator? I mean, that kind of thing, right? So they put us up, you know, that I'm headed this. I get a call from Sheriff Arpaio, and he goes, hey, Ernie, I got your top of the list. I'm like, woohoo, I made it. You know, I don't care. You know, but the thing was, is I asked her about that. I go, is this how you guys roll? I mean, you just throw people on there? How do you make this determination? Well, it's political. It's just a game that they play. It's to give them some press and some, you know, money and donations, and they're relevant in the something. And they just put people up there that get a lot of attention like you. And I'm like, yeah. You know, and I'm jealous as heck.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing to see this list coming together. I personally really appreciate it because there are people on that list I didn't know existed. So now I can, you know, build a stronger coalition for our efforts. Right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened when they did this. I started getting calls from, I was in Korean magazine, Japanese television, German television. I got Miami Herald and Boston Globe and all these people wanting to talk about gun issues. And I'm like, okay, you know, I can do that. You know, so it was, but it worked fortunately the movement's favor too, because, you know, people like you and me, we can articulate fairly cleanly what the real issue is without getting off into, you know, our camo floppy hat kind of crap, you know.
So, well, you know, Ernie, I think what one of the reasons why Camp FEMA was mentioned in the CNN report was because of the Southern Poverty Law Center documents very, very clearly. And I know that Catherine mentioned it to the CNN reporter that was there, but that only the Southern Poverty Law Center document only reinforces that.
Well, so what's their document?
They're going to get informed.
What document?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center did a whole hit piece just on Camp FEMA alone. Not just me. They demonized William. They demonized, they called Restore the Republic an anti-government group with pseudo-militia-like beliefs. I mean, what is a pseudo? How can I have a pseudo militia-like belief? I run a social networking patriot site.
You know, because they can, you know, and it's just,
exactly.
You wonder who the tool is. Is the Southern Poverty Law Center a tool of the government, or is the government a tool of them? I mean, it's almost a symbiotic thing. So
one needs the other. You know, and we know that the MIAC report was directly derived from some of their intelligence reports.
Yeah, I know. That's why, one of her first questions, you and I, we were on the train. We went together down to Jekyll Island.
Yes, we were.
And, you know, that was a big thing to her. And she was calling everybody. I was giving everybody's number. I go, yeah, they're here, go. Call them all. She wanted to talk Chuck Baldwin. I called Chuck. You know, you mind? Yeah, bring her on. Well, she'd never talked to him. You know, because this is what she, I don't know if she ever wound up interviewing him or not. She called me and she's like, you know, Mr. Hancock, I want to interview you about you, you know, as if I was going to, I don't know, run away or something. I said, absolutely. We're going to do it live on my radio show. you come on down, you can ask whatever you want, but then I get to ask questions. So it went, you know, relatively, you know, cool. But I tell you what she wanted to know. This is the big thing. She wanted to know, where the heck did all these gun-toting militia-type Ron Paul, Lovolution kind of, we believe in Second Amendment right to defend against a tyrannical government kind of people, where did they come from? And I go, Heidi, this is one thing you guys will never understand. They never went away.
Yeah,
you just drove them underground. You know, all your stuff, and you can't infiltrate a militia of one. You know, now you got all these individuals that philosophically understand the need to be able to arm yourself against a tyrannical government. You know, whether you think this one's it or not, it's not the point. They understand the concept. How are you going to beat that out of them? Everything you do, you just reinforce the concept.
Well, I think it's also an exploitation of the left-right paradigm argument, because when you have a Democrat now in the White House who happens to be of African-American descent, they go ahead and do some of their own digging again, and they find all these conservative, you know, quote-unquote right-wing militia gun-toters, and they put a report together saying, oh, now there's an explosion of all these people, all these people that want to advocate for these types of rights. And it's only because they see the Democrat in the White House and they want to go ahead and exploit that fact.
Yeah, I think it is a money thing. I think it is a give me attention over here, look at me. And she tried to push that. I tell you what was happening. Here in Arizona, they would kind of invite themselves and, you know, ask to be introduced by the mayor of the Phoenix, that kind of crap. So give them some kind of credibility. They get on the air and they'll say, white supremacist. So when we did, Obama came and we showed up wearing our sidearms and we're interviewing people for the radio show and so on. Chris had told me like a couple days before, the Saturday night before this Monday event, well, I want to bring my AR-15. I mean, what am I going to say? No. You know, I'm going, well, okay. But, you know, when the, you know, the bullets start flying, you're on your own, man. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he comes down, I interview him, totally screwed him up because he was black. They are going all white supremacist stuff. That was their whole shtick for weeks, building up to all this stuff. And then you had an African-American, a black man, come in with an AR-15, and nothing happened, and it totally messed up their game plan. But what they try and do at MSNBC, they still tried to show him there without showing his face or that he was black. And you think people didn't pick up on that? Oh, they got that going in. So I'm going, this is, they do stupid stuff like this, and all it does is they might as well take a shotgun to their ankle. I mean, you know, their own ankle. I'm going, why would you shoot yourself in the foot this way?
Well, you know, that they have to perceive a threat to justify their own existence.
Well, tell me about, you know, your organization, Restore the Republic. Give me the history of that. I know Aaron Russo had done Freedom to Fascism, and you worked with him until his death. And, you know, so tell me how this all transpired, and you're the man now.
Well, Restore the Republic came about due to the momentum behind Aaron's film, America, Freedom to Fascism. And people were going across the country, passing out the DVD, Freedom to Fascism, nationwide. Hundreds of thousands of DVDs were distributed. And there's so much momentum that we put a website together. One of the things Aaron wanted to do was to create a home, because he saw the fracture. He saw the fractures in all the different movements. He saw all the different organizations. He said, look, we need to have one place where people can go. It doesn't matter what organization you associate with. We want to create a centralized place for people to organize, get active, to share information so that you're not like, stuck, just on one group's list or one group's organizing efforts. Now, all groups can come and they can cross-pollinate each other. It creates much more synergy. So we built Restore the Republic, and that's what we've got now. We've got about 1,000 people joining the website every single month. We're now on the web 22,000 strong, and, I mean, it doesn't show any signs of stopping.
Yeah, why would it? I mean, if everything is pointing to exactly what you guys been saying and what Aaron was talking about, there's a lot more to talk about. I mean, we're just scratching the surface here, and we'll see how long we can keep Gary. But you guys stay right there. You're on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com. I'm from FreedomsPhoenix.com. We overlap in the quest for the truth, because if you can't have truth, how are you going to have love?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I guess the revolution wins out. Hey, Gary, I got to tell you this one story, man. There was a we were at ASU 420 event over here in Tempe, Arizona. And there, it's at 420. They, revolution tomorrow, And the event was fun. Mark Victor got to speak and so on. And then one guy came up to me, and he is another freedom fighter here. His name is Jim Kay, we'll say. And he's has his own issue with the man. And I tell you what his big thing is. He has a son that they're trying to force medicate. He's separated from his wife. They have joint custody. She wants him medicated so he doesn't doing around as much, I guess. And he's a normal kid. He's a 10-year-old kid. He's been down here a long time, coming down on the weekends when he was with his dad and so on. And they tried to force medicate him. And finally, he just said, no, that's it. I'm done. And he took him and went to Florida. 3-4 months later, they catch him. They come back. They're here. And he's fighting it. He's like, nope, I'm. That's what dads are. You don't get to know. What do you think a dad's supposed to do? Is protect him from guys like you. So that's a very interesting case. But what he had done, he brought a gentleman to this event at ASU that's been a friend of his for years, and he gave him a copy of America from Freedom to Fascism over a year ago. With a promise that he would watch it. Kept bugging him. Finally, he watched it. Boom! He's got to go to every freedom event now. He's like, I had no idea, man. If I'd known. I'm like, well, how many times I've been hearing about him trying to get you to watch this thing forever?
Guess what? I got a big announcement for you. You're the first person I'm going to tell this to. This is my first public discussion of it. But people are being impacted by America Freedom to Fascism. Well, one of the things that came out of Freedom to Fascism was Republic Magazine, and we just got picked up for national distribution at every single Barnes & Noble in the country.
Ooh! Oh, ain't you the man?
Yeah.
Oh, man, how'd you score that?
It's been a long, hard road. I have to give my hat off to George Shepard for, pushing the distribution, pushing distributors, getting the page counts up, perfecting the magazine. I mean, it's been a long road, but now we're going to be in every single Barnes & Noble in the country.
Oh, you're definitely on the list. How many issues is that a month then?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot. A lot of issues, and I think we just sent the first shipment out. So, we're backdating the issues. So now the 9/11 issue is going to be in stores in Barnes & Noble.
Wow. So you're just going to give them a new date, update them a little bit, and run a bunch
of... No. See, one of the things we do when we make the magazine, we don't put a cover date on it, so they're pretty much timeless. We just put issue 13, issue 14, issue 15. So that way, you can keep it on the newsstand. You can start any newsstand at any number of the magazine, any issue. So we're starting them, I think, at issue 13, which is the health issue.
Well, what issue are you up to now?
They're going to get the Second Amendment issue. They're going to get the Revolution issue. They're going to get the 9/11 issue, North American Union issue.
So what number are you up to now?
Ooh, I think we're up to 17,
wow.
18 maybe.
Wow. Well, now tell the audience about Republic Magazine and where that came from.
RepublicMagazine.com, that's where you can get the magazines at. We sell them in quantity. But we cover issues, like I just said. We cover the 9/11 issue. We cover North American Union. We cover the IRS. I mean, we've had Joe Bannister, Ed Griffin. I mean, we have the top writers, you know, people who are on that Patriot list writing for us, you know, putting the information out. And, you know, it's packaged in a beautiful way. So, that, you know, it's enjoyable to watch, and it's great to turn the page. You know, RepublicMagazine.com, you can download a free PDF for yourself and check it out before you order quantities. But people pass them out all across the country. Activists buy them in stacks.
Oh, no, we get thousands of them. We've had thousands of them that came through Freedom's Phoenix here. People would just buy them, send them to us because they knew that we would be able to distribute them. You know, they wanted them out. I got money, but I don't have time to be getting this stuff out. You guys got people. You know, if I send you, yes, I will. You know, here they come. Boom, done.
Well, we developed the program for just that reason. It's called the Sponsor a Patriot Program. So people can donate to the fund, and then we go ahead and release magazines to. We have a list of patriots that are waiting for magazines to be distributed. So people donate, we release magazines. People donate, we release magazines. It's an amazing program. To that program alone, over 22,000 magazines have been distributed.
What? A month? A year?
Just through that program.
You know, this is what the big bad guys can't comprehend. They have no clue. They don't even if they knew what was happening and why, I don't know what they would be able to do to stop it. Because anytime they've tried to stop this, it just makes more people angry, and it just gets amped up by 10. You know, we saw this during the Ron Paul effort, presidential campaign in 08, whenever they would do anything to try and diss them. You know,
it only builds up our resolve to fight harder. I mean, they're using the completely wrong philosophy to try to exclude us. Okay, we're just going to back down and take it. No, we're the type of people that get back up and fight harder. I mean, look what happened down at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference. Look at that. You know, they tried kicking out 60 to 70 Ron Paul supporters.
Oh, okay,
wait,
all right, wait. I want to tell that story. How much time we got here? Okay, hold on. We're going to tell this story. Let me preface it a little bit. In New Orleans, just a couple weeks ago, they had the Southern Republican Leadership Conference. Now, this is kind of the sequel to CPAC. CPAC, Ron Paul had won at 33%. The next person was 22% with Mitt Romney, and Sarah Palin's down at 7%. Mitt Romney really, 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 really wants to run for president in 2012 again, and there is no way he can take another loss to Ron Paul. So what they do is they go, well, okay, Romney's just not going to show up, so if he gets a close second, that's good enough. He wasn't there, that kind of thing. Well, they go in. I was in New Orleans and traveled right when this was going on, traveled 100 miles away to Hattiesburg, which is a center of Mississippi, where there's a Libertarian Party convention there. A lot of the Campaign for Liberty and the Young Americans for Liberty group, college groups, went to see Ron Paul speak. Well, right after that, they went to the after party that we had at a big club there, and they were telling me everything that was going on, and the reality report reported on it with video that these kids had taken. And we supplied them with all kinds of stuff and movies for their, you know, 415 tax day at the university, all that kind of stuff. And they were all amped up, just angry and wanting to do more stuff because of what they did. Tell us what they did, Gary.
Well, they change the registration rooms like three times on these people. They publish one room, and then they say, oh, okay, it's registration closes at 1. These guys get there at 12. They're told it's on the fourth floor. Then they go up to the fourth floor, nothing there. They go, oh, it's down in the lobby. No, you got to go all the way down the lobby. They made these Ron Paul supporters run around for 2.5 hours. Getting the runaround until they right up to the deadline. Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Sorry. Nope. Yeah, we can't let you in now.
Well, it started off. They said it's like 30, then 40, 50, 60 people more, and they're getting and they're starting to. You know, we see what's going on here, and they started getting a little ruckus is going on. So you get a bunch of college, and you're not going to contain them. They saw the writing on the wall, and they finally let them in like 2 minutes before Dr. Paul was speaking.
Yeah, and also they put it right up to the time where they're supposed to vote. And what, Romney wins by one vote? Come on.
Yeah, 438 to 437. I saw this happen at the Iowa straw poll, kind of crap, you know? And the kids.
Well, what's funny, too, though, Ernie, is that how CBS spun that by saying, oh, you know, Mitt Romney beat out Sarah Palin. Well, yeah, he beat Sarah Palin, but he also, you know, they totally excluded Ron Paul. From even, you know, like he wasn't even there.
You know, I'm wondering what they think they get out of doing this. Is there somebody watching them that's paying attention? And the people that are, that they don't know that they're just spinning this stuff? I don't understand what they're, especially this early going into 2012, and we haven't even got to 2010 yet. And I'm wondering why. And that weekend, right before that week, it was like Thursday or Friday, we got Glenn Beck. All of a sudden, he's like, Mr. Libertarian, I like Ron Paul, Libertarian and Freedom and Constitution and Bill of Rights, and I put it on the chalkboard. And then, boom, right before this event, he endorses Romney. And I go, what the heck just happened? I mean, it's not a shock to me, but a lot of people went, what happened?
Well, see, I'll tell you what's happening, is that they're using the Ron Paul revolution, they're using the momentum that Ron Paul has, they're using his message, his talking points and everything, injecting it into their own messages, right? And then they're luring all of us or all of the Ron Paul supporters in to watch. And then what happens? Then they're going to slam the door on our faces, and they're going to go run off with some other candidate. They get our hopes up, they crush us, but, you know, we just stand up and work harder and fight harder.
Yep. Hey, can you stay a little longer in the next hour, man?
Yeah, I've got a lot of work. I can stay for another segment, though.
Okay, we'll go. I tell you what, we'll come back at 6 after, and then we'll go to, like, 17 after, do one more segment with you, because I got some more predictions I need from Gary Franchi. Because, you know, he and I are busy guys, man. We don't get to hook up together as much as we should. But I tell you, there's a lot going on, and it's getting busier and busier. All you see is just elbows from us, man, because we're working it. And you guys get to see the benefits, get to hear about it at least, from all the stuff that we're doing. Republic Magazine going into Barnes & Noble. I'll score. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com. Don't stop believing.